Maybe you've experienced this before. You have a few days off from work that you're looking forward to, but then just like that, you're back at work and feel like you never left. Our next guest says we need to set aside some time to deal with stress, but your method of doing that can be unique to you and your interests and your schedule. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble relaxing or distancing yourself from work when you do have time off? And have you found your own personal form of escape or stress relief in these past months? Listening to music, putting your phone in another room and reading, doing some kind of outdoor activity? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Marcellus Merritt is an associate professor of health psychology at UW-Milwaukee. His research focuses on stress physiology and finding solutions for cardiovascular health disparities. Marcellus, thanks a lot for joining us.
Okay, thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, before we get into some specific ideas for people, let's talk about what's at stake here. What happens with our health if we don't find ways to deal with stress in our lives?
Well, I'd start off by just noting that stress is endemic in our everyday life. So in other words, you can't live life without stress. So it's kind of a contradiction in a way, where essentially you can't get up tomorrow morning and say, well, okay, today I'm not gonna deal with stress at all. So in a sense, it's kind of a non sequitur in a way. So, but to kind of answer your question a little more directly, my best advice is to find things that work best for you. So we know that there are, very standard ways of kind of helping people deal with the stresses and strains in their life. There's kind of clinical interventions, cognitive behavioral therapies, and the like. But for me, it's really kind of more of a preventive model in terms of finding things or ways to deal with this stuff as it happens in the moment. In what?
Yeah, we see sometimes things, Marcellus, an article that says, oh, meditation, that's the surefire cure for stress, or this or that. And what I'm hearing you say is it is not one size fits all. The same thing that might work for you might not work for me. Do I have that right?
And I would supplement, that's a wonderful observation. And I would just supplement that observation by just noting that at the end of the day, and this is kind of our theory for our research group, that what works for you may be something that you already are doing and have been doing for most of your life. So we have this term referred to as rehearsed relaxation, which is just the basic premise of saying that whatever works well to relax you will help you manage your chronic stress in a way. So as you kind of rehearse this activity and do it over and over again, your stress levels, whether they be mental, physical, or emotional, are going to drop or wane in a theory. So with that said, we really focus on this concept of leisure. And I'll ask you, or I'll kind of use you as kind of a test subject, Rob. What's the thing that you like to do to kind of get away from yourself and get away from all of the, madness and craziness in your life?
Well, I've been thinking about this, and I've got a couple, just sitting down and reading a book, and really reading, not just, for a few minutes, or playing a musical instrument, the saxophone or the piano. Those, I know when I'm doing those more, I feel better about my stress.
Okay. Then the next logical question is, why do those activities work for you? What psychological, social aspects of those activities make you feel better or make you sleep better or reduce your heart rate, if you will?
Well, I guess for one thing, you got to focus on it, right? Like you can't be thinking about all the other stuff while you're doing that kind of activity is what I would say. And there are things that I've loved. I've been doing for decades. So there, I've got a lot of good associations with those activities.
Right. So those activities are what we as scientists would refer to as your self-selected leisure activities that we kind of playfully refer to as your SSLAs. So they're your activities that you do that are inherently enjoyable, that are your thing in a way, so that essentially that we as psychologists or interventionists don't have to come in and like teach you a whole new activity to learn. So we don't have to have you do cognitive behavioral worksheets and interventions or systematic desensitization, where you kind of give you these trials of different access to different threatening things like snakes or worms or that kind of thing. If you like to play your musical instrument, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it without being pushed or challenged. Same thing with your reading as well, too. So what we do to take advantage of that is that we're assessing those activities, and we hypothesize or are guessing that it's not necessarily that you do those activities, but it's how you do them. And the real question is, do you do them as optimally as you could? And what? So that requires us to kind of look at certain kinds of psychosocial features or elements of those activities, whether they be, you talked about attention or focus, absorption, mental absorption, mood, social reinforcement, if you're doing something that's like a group activity in a way here. So there's different features that we want to tap to figure out if doing your activity where you optimize those features more will help you get more mental and physical health benefit out of those activities in a way. So let me give you an example that I think hits home, and I think will hit home for a lot of your readers here. It's more of a personal motivation for why I'm doing this kind of assessment. My father, Charles Merritt, who passed along about 6 years ago, spent most of his adult life working as a supervisor in factories in rural North Carolina. So you can imagine when he got home every evening that he was kind of worn out mentally and emotionally because he had to manage like 30 to 40 crews of 30 to 40 people each day. So he's very stressed, and he obviously, when he got home, he wanted to do something, get away from all that, you know, strain and conflict and everything. So what he'd do is in our basement of our home, he would set up his stereo system to listen to classic jazz for, say, 60 to 75 minutes every evening. So he would listen to his Thelonious Monk or his Charles Mingus or his Dave Brubeck. And that would kind of get him into another state or another, what we like to refer to as a flow state, where essentially we're kind of out of ourselves. We're no longer in that automated kind of unconscious, emotionless reality anymore. We're kind of like floating. We're almost like we're on a vacation, except we're actually not doing a vacation physically. So in that regard, he was mentally absorbed and distracted in his activity to the point where he could then adjust physiologically and mentally and let his battery recharge through the rest of the evening and overnight and get a better night of sleep and feel refreshed in the morning and ready to go back to work and do this whole thing over and over again. So that's a lot of kind of what we're talking about with our leisure model.
We're talking to Marcellus Merritt, health psychologist at UW-Milwaukee, associate professor there, talking about how to find stress relief, not one size fits all, finding that thing that you might already know about and make sure that you A, do it, and B, do it effectively. If you have that thing, that hobby, maybe that activity that calms you down, that you make time for, let us know. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Okay, here's my problem, Marcellus. I know what my things are, but I do them, you know, when I have time for them. And some days I didn't end up having time for them, or I go a few days without doing them. How can we make sure that we prioritize those things that are going to relieve our stress?
That's a great question. And we know that based on we have basically two daily rhythms. We have a circadian rhythm, which is a big word for a biological rhythm. It just basically means that some people like to sleep at night, other people like to sleep during the day, and so forth. There are some people more active in the morning, or some people more active in the evening, that kind of thing. Then we have what's referred to as social rhythms, which is just based on the premise that we like to do the things we enjoy socially or leisure-wise at certain times or certain days of the week. So one element that we're thinking about in our research model, and one element that I would recommend to you, Rob, is maybe to come up with a schedule of kind of when you do your activity and when that activity is most optimal for you. So if you like to play your music in the evening and that's kind of when you get the most out of it, then I would try to arrange your schedule around that calendar, if you will, and to optimize that way. theory. So if you can't, or if you feel like you're constricted, then we're doing some preliminary research. We're actually going to try to assess how kind of playing around or manipulating with the activity and how you do the activity changes when you kind of do it at different dates or different times, or that kind of focus as well too. So we think there is an additive benefit. So if you like to do both of the activities that you've noted here, we think that's actually going to be a bonus. So getting more bang for your buck out of reading and music playing rather than simply just doing one or the other. So.
Interesting. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. We've got Barb with us in Wisconsin Rapids. Barb, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
What did you want to tell us about, Barb?
I was just listening to the show here, and it's such a great topic, and I'm noticing that things that I normally get a lot of joy from just are kind of not doing it for me during this era of COVID. Maybe I've done them, you know, over and over, and it just seems like it's not giving me the same bang for my buck, I guess, as they used to. Is there anything, is there a way to assess what activities might be better for, like, my brain chemistry or just doing better things for me at this time?
And before Marcellus answers, Barb, can I ask, what are your usual go-to stress-relieving activities?
Generally, reading, cooking, taking a walk, hiking, those kinds of things. So just a variety, I guess.
Interesting, Barb. So yeah, Marcellus, I think a lot of us have that situation where our usual stress relievers are being put to the test in 2020. How can we, Barb and me and a lot of people, evaluate why those things aren't working and what we can do?
Two things. Thanks for the call, Barb. Again, based on my point about the biological rhythm, I'll first of all assess whether or not your biological rhythm has been kind of altered. Because we know, and I know for myself, that my sleep rhythm during this year has been almost completely knocked off track. So I'm like two hours off where I'm normally at. So that's in turn has challenged my ability to do things I like to do in the schedule that I would like to do them. So I would first look at your biological rhythm. And Barb, you brought up brain chemistry, which I find very intriguing because we know that there are certain parts of the brain, and my neuroscience colleagues can kind of feel in on this a little bit later, but there are certain parts of the brain that are kind of activated when you do things that are rewarding to you in a way here. So, but my general advice kind of at this point is kind of more intuitive, is kind of just to look at your schedule, maybe do what I'd refer to as a reset, where you just sit down and you kind of think to yourself, okay, let's just reset the schedule. Instead of doing this activity that I usually do in the morning, let's see if I can reset it in the evening and do my activity in the morning instead of the evening and see if that helps you kind of get on track, kind of like you do when you kind of recharge your battery in your car in a way.
Interesting. Hope that helps. Let's go to Andy now in Brookfield. Andy, hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for taking the call. I'm a professor and I do a lot of reading, but for relaxation purposes, I put on a little soft classical music and I buy a book, but I also purchase the audio book. So I sit back and I let either the author or the audio CD just play and kind of just enjoy the book, maybe follow along a little bit, if not just listen to it. And it gives me immense relaxation.
I love it, Andy. That he's got that full audiovisual experience with the book there, Marcel. It's very absorbing, it sounds like.
That is apropos, and thank you for the call, in that we know in today's world with technology that essentially one way to kind of optimize your activity is to let the technology do some of the work for you. So in terms of like music listening or interacting with different kinds of technology, the audiobooks are great because that way, you know, not only do you kind of, is it kind of physically easier to kind of listen, but from a mental kind of cognitive standpoint, you don't have to do as much work to kind of go through the pages or kind of do highlighting or some of those other kind of superficial motor-based activities that you have to do when you interact with text or reading material in a way. So part of our research plan is to kind of figure out solutions like that in terms of, in this case, because we know, for example, with classical music, just very briefly, that the type of music that's most relaxing, produces the most relaxed physiological response is classical music. So if you want to relax your heart rate or kind of get those cortisol or brain activities levels down, maybe listen to a few selections of Tchaikovsky or that kind of thing as well. So I really like that example because it really hits home about how you can do the things you like to do better so that you can optimize your relaxation.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Marcellus, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. That's Marcellus Merritt, Associate Professor of Health Psychology at UW-Milwaukee. His research focuses on stress physiology and finding solutions for cardiovascular health disparities. He's been telling us, giving us some of his research on how to figure out how to relax and de-stress most effectively. We've got a link, by the way, to some stress relief resources over at WPR.org/Central Time if you'd like to learn more. Maybe try some of this at home. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Charles Schulz was a longtime presence on the comics page with Charlie Brown, Snoopy, and the rest of the Peanuts gang. We'll talk to the author of a book that explores Schulz's influence on cartoonists, writers, and the rest of us. Milwaukee, Waukesha, Wauwatosa, many Wisconsin place names have the W-A-U syllable. Two experts on native languages of Wisconsin answer a Wisconsin question, or Wisconsin question, about the Waw sound, and their answers may surprise you. Plus, a holiday special from our friends and colleagues at Chapter a Day featuring Wisconsin high school students reading from a bunch of different books. That's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.